Back in session. We did that? Okay. We'll go to the hearing session. Board President's report. I have nothing to report this evening. Board of Education report. Mr. Flowers?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Yesterday that we attended Melinda Middle School, and it was such a grand occasion, especially for me being my first time. I'm new on the board, and just to see the collaboration between the students and the teacher at that school was so amazing. And when we walked from one class to the next class, how each class was, we're on the same level. This math class was teaching the same math as the next teacher was doing. It was just amazing. And I was, you know, just to see the work that our teachers are doing at that school. And as we go forward, we see other schools. I'm just so totally impressed. And I thank the superintendent for just setting it up so we can go visit. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Ms. Poles?
Melinda was awesome yesterday. And you can really feel the sense of family when you walk onto that campus. And I know that all the students can feel that too, that the teachers are very collaborative and care about one another, and they care about their students. That just shone through. And the level of learning was fabulous. I couldn't believe the different things that they were learning. I also was able to go to the special ed presentation, and I appreciate everybody so much doing the extra effort putting that on. I walked away learning a lot, and I know what I'm going to be asking for and working towards on Friday for my child's IEP. So I appreciate you working with the parents with that and giving them a bigger picture of what Common Core is and what the state standards and what the Smarter Balance testing is going to be like, because change is hard. And then when you have a unique population, sometimes there's even more stress to that. So I just appreciate the time and effort put into that.
All right, first and foremost, I want to thank the principals and staff with the back-to-school nights. We still have them going on, and they've done an amazing job. Coronado's was really good. Thank you very much, Mr. Marentes. Edgewood did a great job, too. So well attended. It was really good to see the level of participation over with the parents. That was over at the high school, as well as the middle school. That was within this corridor, too. West Cove did a really good job. All those excited little ones, eager to be there and to show their parents what they've done and meet their teachers. And Hollencrest did a really good job, too. So congratulations to all the staff, the principals, the teachers, everybody who made those back-to-school nights really good and extra special. I agree with Ms. Polis. The special education meeting, Ms. Hawkins, thank you to your staff. They did a phenomenal job. It was so well coordinated, easy to understand. It was interactive as well. I learned a lot. It is one area that I don't have any sort of expertise in, and I learned a whole lot. I really thank you for doing that on behalf of the district. I saw that the parents were engaged and were equally learning, so thank you. The site visit at Merlinda, thank you very much. I know we have Ms. Gear here in the audience, was excellent. And to see the things that we are here deciding on and voting on and putting in place, but to see it in action just really made it come alive, as they say, it made it pop. And the students were fabulous, and they were eager to see us as well. So thank you to the teachers and to Ms. Gonzalez. And thank you very much, Ms. Kaplan, for organizing that. I'm looking forward to the other site visits as they come up. Finally, as you all saw in our board packets, our meeting for the Garden Gourmet was successful. We have four classes that are going to be participating. Everybody's welcome to come tomorrow if they want. The kickoff is tomorrow for the first two classes at Hearst Ranch at 8:30. And then the second kickoff for the other two classes is on September 24th at 8:30, and that'll be at Hearst Ranch. So it's open to all of us. I don't yet have a date for the end of ceremony, but as soon as I have that, I'll let you all know as well. So thank you so much again, staff. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Is that 8 o'clock or
8:30? 8:30.
Very good. Thank you all. Next item on the agenda is items from the floor and public comment. Oh, God. No. I did not forget the student report. Now, I did this selfishly because she's asked to leave after she gives a report. See, and so if she gives a report, then she can leave. But if I want her to stay, then I can't let her have a report. So. I'm sorry, Jessica. Thank you.
For Coronado High School, they had a very well-attended and successful back-to-school night. Parents from Coronado, Rio Verde Academy, and the Special Education Transition Program were able to meet their students, teachers, and tour the campus. Thank you to Dr. Colin and Board Member Eileen Jimenez for their attendance. Leadership class will be meeting with administration to plan the activities for the year. They are hoping to have a school-wide dance and plan for prom and graduation night. Their football team will play its first game of the year next week. We are the continuation school's defending league champions, and they look forward to hosting the West Covina Secondary School principals on their campus next Wednesday. For Edgewood High School, on Thursday, August 27th, was their back-to-school night. It was a great success. They had cheer and band performances and then had classroom visitations. A variety of clubs and sports teams fundraised by selling a variety of snacks and drinks. On Thursday, September 4th, the Travel Club had a parent meeting in the Media Center to discuss China trip. Parents were given information on how to prepare their child for the China trip. Edgewood Boys Varsity Baseball Team came in first place in the Hardball Classic Tournament on Saturday, September 6th. Fall sports are in full effect, and they will begin playing league games on September 11th, 2014. Cheer and Swim will be hosting the annual Dodgeball Tournament on Friday, September 12th from 6 to 9 p.m. in the gym. Last year, there were 46 teams that participated, and they are expecting that number to double this year. Spirit Week started on September 8th and will continue on September 12th. Their rally this year is The Walking Dead, so teachers will be participating in a dance performance and will be dancing to Thriller. For West Covina High School, on Wednesday, September 10th, our band and color guard and dance drill and cheer teams will be attending and performing at West Covina Day at the L.A. County Fair. This week is the annual Kings and Queens of Cameron Spirit Week, and all week long we'll have a variety of activities during lunch and after school as we celebrate and prepare for their next two big games. On Thursday, September 11th at 3:30, our girls' varsity volleyball team will play South Hills at South Hills High School. This is the annual Queens of Cameron game. On Friday, September 12th, our varsity boys football team will play South Hills at Thyberg Field here at West Covina High School. This is the annual Kings of Cameron game. City council members and other dignitaries will be in attendance, and we will have pre-game introduction ceremony and a post-game trophy ceremony. Our back-to-school night event will be on Thursday, September 11th. Starting at 5:45 p.m., there will be a principal's welcome in the gym with various performances from our band, cheer, choir, and dance drill teams. Classroom visitations will run from 6:30 to 8:25 p.m. We'll conclude with the Kings and Queens of Cameron evening rally at 8:30 p.m. in the gym. City officials will be present to showcase the trophy. We are wrapping up auditions for a school-wide Shrek musical. From now until January, preparation for the musical will begin. Our club promotion week will run from September 15th through 19th, and our school will be hosting a mock SAT on the 20th. And that is my report.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the next item on our agenda is the items from the floor public comment. I have two requests to speak this evening. The first one is Sandra Delahousse Bonds. I'm not sure if still like
that. Good evening. I've got questions I know that won't be answered back, but concerns. Last week, the governor's debate was on TV, and Governor Brown mentioned that all of the funds that had been raided from our schools during the times of dire need here in the state have been returned. And I've heard nothing about placement of these funds. I've not seen any big changes come, and I don't know if it'll be in increments, or if, in fact, he was not telling the truth. So there were concerns, because election year is upon us. So I'm just wondering, have you all been aware? And if so, hopefully, the trickle-down will be coming to our schools. There are still many needed things that our schools do need, you know, within our infrastructure. I'm very keenly interested in our disaster preparedness and concern that we aren't where we should be as a school district, and I'm told that there is not, at least there was not as at the end of last school year, a person actually charged to the duties of maintaining or overseeing the maintenance of the disaster equipment on each school premises. And with schools having lockdowns, it's almost weekly. Disaster could be any single day for us to be sort of sitting on our hands and our kids to be the victims held hostage for either a person on campus or from the disasters of an earthquake. I think it's something we need to put a little speed behind those of all of you who are in charge of the welfare of our students. Thank you.
You can or cannot? Okay. All right.
Pardon me, I thought answers were not permitted.
No, but I wanted to encourage you if you'd stick around just for a few minutes. All right, ma'am, because we do have an interim financial report, and I'll ask our financial staff to at least address some of those partially. All right, thank you. All right, next speaker is Craig Delahousset. Close? Thank you, sir.
Good evening, all. I had a question, comment, and a concern right now. This would be towards the advanced students in the elementary school district of West Covina. I'm a school site member, like a self-elected president, because I'm the only parent that is attending on the school site council right now. My daughter attends West Covina Elementary School, and during the budget going over at the school site council meeting, I know there was funds allocated towards the GATE program for the advancement of the students, but it doesn't seem like there's anything actually being done. A lot of talk is going around right now for the interventions. A lot of remedial activity is taking place. The schoolwork that she's doing in her classroom right now, which is the fourth grade, it seems to be on the second grade caliber right now. I know the school is subpar standing. Just received a letter from the school itself saying that the points are below the California standards for all of the schools, elementary in the West Covina School District. It was giving us the option to actually pull the kid out and go to another school. She likes it here at Orangewood. She's going to remain there at Orangewood because I don't see any purpose of actually pulling her out and sending her to another school that's on the same standard as the school she's attending right now. But my major concern is I don't see anything as far as the enrichment of the kids that are at a normal average level and also to the kids at a higher level. I feel that the kids that are at a higher level are pretty much the backbone of the school and are the ones that are giving the kids the points in the standings right now. With changing over to the Common Core standards prior to that, there was another testing that went on and kind of evaluated the kids and see where they actually fell within the grade level that they were in at there. She was above that, but there was no actual work to kind of encourage them to keep excelling. And being part of this school, from the time that she came in, from K all the way up into fourth grade right now, I didn't see anything as far as stimulating the kids. Talking to some of the other parents that had their kids in the GATE program, they said it wasn't enough for them other than handing them a workbook or just a sheet of paper, which there wasn't any instruction or guidance to help kind of enrich them a little bit more, push them over the edge to see if they can actually be pushed even further, and then possibly help the other kids come along. The role my kid was playing in the second and third grade was reaching down and helping the kids behind her, but there was nobody in front of her with their hands out pulling her along to help her up. And I don't see that her, in her situation, where as though she had to be the one in class reaching up to help the other kids come along. That's good every now and then, but you still need guidance and direction brought upon you by the instructors in the class and the school itself. I inquired. The role had changed over to another staff member at Orangewood that's going to be conducting the GATE program within the school. I inquired with her as when this program is actually going to start. She didn't have any idea. I pressed her a little bit more. She said sometime in December, possibly February. The school is going to be halfway over by then. I inquired with the principal of the school that just came on board with Orangewood this year. And she indicated possibly they're going to get started with an after-school program to go ahead and start this GATE program. That was going to actually drop off some of the kids, because some of the kids may not be able to attend an after-school program. Their parents might pick them up after school, and that's the end of it. So these kids are going to be left out as well. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, does anybody else wish to speak to the board at this time, please? Would you please state your name and address for us, please?
My name is Isela Cruz.
Okay, and address?
16822 Double Grove Street, La Puente, California, 91744.
Thank you.
I want to try my best because my English is...
We understand.
My sons belong to California school. He's in special education, and I noticed, and since the school year begins, my son was dropped out late at home because he had the bus transportation. So he got out for school like at 1:50, so he was dropped out like around 3:10. I called transportation because the time that he get home the second day, he was kind of busy because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the driver, you know, why it's taking so long to get my son to home. And because my son has special needs to eating, and he's autistic. So she told me that she had too many students, and I had to call transportation, which I called. I spoke to Sergio. Sergio, I think, is a person. So he told me he will try to do his best to get my son to home early. Because after school, he got OT and ABA. So he was kind of dizzy, even the driver told me. And I talked to the third time I called again. And she told me, you know, because of the school was starting, they was trying to get, you know, the best they can to select different buses for different schools. So my question is, and my concern is, you know, the heat, it's been really high, really hot. So it's not air conditioned on the buses. If you notice, you know, the windows is high for his own safety. So I just wonder to see you can try to get maybe air condition or less kids on the bus so they can get home early, because they have a lot of issues, you know, to get the lunch, eating, so by the time they get home, they're kind of dizzy, and, you know, they don't know how to communicate that. So that's my concern. And another concern that I have, I went last week, like Thursday, to the school district to talk to Lori Johnson, where they told me that she's not there no more. She's was transferred. She's a director of school now. The last IEP that we had was the last day of school, which was not complete. Mm-hmm. She agreed with me that she will call me before the school start, before the so we can complete something pending was on the IEP, because at the time that we made the IEP was the last day, so the teacher was not present. The teacher for the main street was not present. And was a substitute for in the IP, which I wasn't agreed. And she told me we had to do this because that's the last day, we had to finish this. Otherwise, we're going to have trouble doing this. So I agreed with her to sign, and we agreed to meet to find out what was my son's doing in the main street, because he's like 30 minutes or 1 hour transfer to Main Street. So nobody contact me. I left a message on Thursday for the psychology in California. Since Thursday, she haven't given me a call. So I just wonder who's going to be in charge to follow up for the IP and to just finish the annual IP, was not finished at the time. Another concern when I spoke to Lori Johnson, on the school year 2012-2013, my son was in speech they agreed to give my son 3 times his speech therapy for a week, which my son only received 1 time. They was missing 24 session speech. We agreed so they can give me whatever was missing, because I think at the time that Ms. Linden was there, was a big mess on the classroom. So they give my son whatever speech was missing, but they told me the only way that they can do it, my son has to be after school for 1 hour, Fridays, and I had to wait to coming back to pick up my son and return back to home, and they agreed to pay me for my gas, which is not about the money. Since the last time that I spoke to Lori Johnson, she told me, I'm going to see, you know, why they haven't paid you. I don't complain about the money. I just complain that it's an IEP, and we're supposed to respect that. It's a legal contract. And still nobody, you know, gave an answer. My son was behind academic because of the reason. And I really was trying to get my son out of the West Covina School District because a lot of issues and situation in 2012, 2013, and Miss Linden, and then Miss Sully came, and then she was leave absent because of maternity, which is a great teacher, Miss Sully. She make a lot of difference on my son. And then she went because of the pregnancy. And she communicated to me, you know what, Miss Cruz, I'm leaving. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make the IEP because the principal, she was leaving in April. So my son's IEP is like around the end of May. So I told the principal, why we don't change the IEP to be before the end of the school district so we don't have this issue every year for you guys, because they give me like 3 different dates for you guys because of the teachers. I know how to be there. And we agreed to change the due date, but, you know, for me it was really important that my teacher is in the IEP because she's the one who sees my sons every day. I don't want to see an assistant. I don't want to see somebody taking over like 2 months, like Miss R was there. She's a great teacher too, or assistant. But that's not, my son is not going to make any difference if they move in teacher every 3 or 4 months. They're really tough for them to adapt to a person. So to be honest with you, my son didn't meet the goals. And they told me that's because of my son's disability, in which I don't agree. You know, he had the potential. My son wasn't he was getting a speech outside the school district, which I can prove to you that he made 120%, he made the goals. So I 100% sure, because I know my son, that he had the potential. But because of the classroom or the school year situation in West Coast, I think most of the people knows what happened. My son is really behind. He's in 3rd grade. He don't know how to read. He barely started writing his name. With Miss Sullen, when he was in 1st grade, he was writing his name. When he was in kinder, he was writing his name. 1st grade with Miss Linden, he didn't make any progress. Last year with Miss Sully, he made a progress, and then she left and was a substitute there. I'm trying to do my best in California, and I'm praying that somebody can be stable in the classroom. So those kids, not only my son, but I'm talking because other kids, they can make the best right now. You know, they're 7, 8 years old. They teach them and they had education, I think they will make a difference in his life. So that's what I had to do and what I had to say. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Cruz, for your time. And the what? Yeah. You do that now? Yeah. Mrs. Cruz, we take a few minutes and chat with them. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anybody else who wishes to address the board at this time? All right, we will go on to the business session, the organizational portion of the meeting, with respect to the agenda, approving the agenda and consent items. Is there anybody who would wish to add or delete an item from consent?
Could we add 8? What did you say?
8. Anybody else?
I'm okay with it.
What did you say?
I said I'm okay with that.
Okay.
How about 15?
Yeah. Well, I think Dr. Coughlin actually requested that item number 15 would be on consent, but I did tell him that no, I think that that would not be appropriate. So, all right. So, it's been. Oh no, it hasn't been. I need a motion. So we're going to add 8 to consent.
I'll move as amended.
I'll second it.
Moved by Cami Polis and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez to approve the agenda and consent items as amended to include item number 8 on consent. That then takes us to item number 3. What's that? Oh.
Moving right along.
Aye.
All right, let's do a motion then. I'm gathering that we have no other comments on that at this. Will you pass this down for me, please? Thank you. Then, all right, is there a motion to accept for first reading?
No, number 1, we haven't voted on it.
We haven't voted on accepting the agenda. We didn't ask for a vote.
Oh, God, I couldn't figure out what are they talking about. God. Here, I'll let you vote. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Now, item 3.
I just have one question on that one.
All right.
It is on page 3C. And it says, any member who does not attend all board meetings during the month is eligible to receive only a percentage of the monthly compensation equal to the meetings he, she attended. I would just like to add clarifying language to it because it's our regularly scheduled board meetings. It's not special meetings or emergency meetings. And because there are times we call special meetings, and some board members can't be there, but it's urgent, so if a majority can be there, the meeting's held. Or like we have now where site visitations are going on, and because a majority of the board is going to be there, we're calling them special meetings. But somebody like me, I'm not able to attend because I have my day job. And so I'm not actually missing a school board meeting. I'm just missing a site visitation that's only being called a special board meeting because the majority of the board is there.
When I redid this, we looked at the actual Ed Code, and the Ed Code does not say regular meetings.
Yes.
So
it specifically states special meetings.
Yeah. So what I was planning on doing for these visitations at the end of each month to do a, because what it says if you can't attend because of illness or hardship, and clearly these special meetings you are working, that at the end of the month we were going to put a resolution on our agenda item just saying that every board member who didn't attend it was because of hardship.
Well,
I think the law itself says it's all meetings.
It does say, it doesn't say all, but it includes special. It says regular, it specifically says regular and special meetings of the board, and it included in that proration. And as she said then, the way to get around it, I mean, there's two ways to get around it. We can simply adjourn a particular meeting to the following meeting.
Right.
And effectively get that credit for that period of time, or simply just determine that these are hardships. The employment issue is a hardship, illnesses, hardship,
And that's what I was going to do.
Not caring, it's hardship.
Yeah, this month and the end of October, because we were going
to
do that.
Yeah, because I don't want it to appear that I'm not, you know, I'm missing 13 board meetings this month, and, you know, they're scheduled Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in the middle of the day.
Right.
I totally understand. And once we had to agendize the meetings, because there were more than three, that's the way I thought I would handle it.
There were three or more.
Three or more.
Yes.
Yeah, so this actually, that second to last paragraph specifically states what that is supposed to do. Performing designated service of the district at the time, or that he was absent because of illness, jury duty, hardship deemed acceptable by the board.
And because so we have in the past, when we've had special board meetings that board members have not been able to attend, we've never deducted. It's only been looked at for regular scheduled board meetings.
Yeah. I don't know in the very recent past, but the way back when, we used to, like I said, either adjourn to the following meeting, or we would actually recognize the compensation issue and
Monica and I had this conversation, and we put in regular, and then I looked up the actual ed code, and it did not say that, so I figured we just have to be very knowledgeable that when a board meeting
diligent in doing that.
That we bring it back to the board. So.
Well, and if that's the case, then I think we need to put somewhere how it's going to be handled, so that we don't, and of course no one on this board now would do this, but that we don't have an issue of board politics and not liking a board member so that they vote against, you know, excusing the absence in the event a board member's not able.
So read this paragraph. How would you change it?
What paragraph are you pointing to?
Second to last on 3C.
The board may be compensated for meetings he or she missed when the board, by resolution, finds he or she was performing designated services for the district at the time of the meeting, or that he or she was absent because of illness, jury duty, or hardship deemed acceptable by the board.
I think we should have something along the lines of that we say for special meetings we will adjourn to the next meeting. So that's just our normal policy. That way we don't need a special resolution.
So we're going to be adjourning, because there's going to be several of these before our next board meeting. And just so you know,
special meetings prior to a regular meeting. We'll have about three or four special meetings prior to another regular meeting.
And so then how does roll call work? How does it work? And yesterday,
I don't know that we need that. I don't know that we need it, because the Ed Code doesn't specifically says that. I guess it doesn't mean that we can't add it. But if, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we didn't do that yesterday, so just for a heads up, because we hadn't had that conversation. And then do we not take roll then? If we keep adjourning it to the next, it'll be to the next visitation, to the next visitation, to the next visitation, or to the next regularly scheduled meeting?
I think when it's a special meeting out of the ordinary, you can do that, but when we have all these visitations, I think we would
just
have to bring it to
do one fell swoop resolution.
And that just doesn't make sense to keep
and it provides for us the ability to do that in this policy.
So the resolution, let me make sure I understand, the resolution will then come in October for all the missed meetings?
At the end of September, because you're paid monthly.
So at the end of September.
First meeting in October, we'll do a resolution. And then the second meeting in October. Actually, the first meeting, we might be able to do one for everybody.
I believe the last special meeting is October 2nd.
So, so the first meeting in October, we'll do the resolution for so everybody will get their pay accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments on these board policies? The motion to accept for first reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. I do. I apologize. I was still looking at the prior one. I have a question on 3D, the health and welfare benefits. The second paragraph, any cost of the health and welfare benefits that exceeds the amount of the stipend. I thought we didn't get benefits until we had been on the board 20 years, so I was a little... question was, what stipend? What amount?
What does the 20 years come in?
Well, that's what I was told when I first came on.
The stipend is our normal compensation, and no board members don't receive all the welfare unless you pay for it.
Yes, unless you pay for it.
And you can apply your stipend to it.
Okay. All right, then we need to be consistent
then. Well,
then
that does it. I'm not staying.
That's it. You quit, huh? We called it... we called it compensation over here on page 3C. So then we should be consistent. Because it's not called stipend up here. The board may receive a stipend. This is compensation.
Our not compensation. They said they would be compensated.
The cost of the home would exceed the amount of the...
Because our compensation is in the form of a stipend.
The form of a stipend. Should I say that?
No. That's fine. Because the stipend, that's how we're...
Right. Okay, well, when I first read this, it wasn't clear to me. When I first read it, it sounded like there was a second health and welfare benefit stipend. It did not read to me that it was coming on, that it was our stipend amount that if we want to pay for it. Okay, so how would I want to change it? That would be the question, right? Okay.
I understood it when I read it, but I might be because I knew what I was reading.
And the inference is?
Well, no, because she was thinking that it meant something completely different than
right.
I did, because she was thinking there was a 20-year that you...
Well, I was reading over here as compensation. So we're calling it that on 3C.
But
so
it was compensated, right? Are you talking about...
When I get to 3D, when they're talking about our remuneration... We didn't call it a stipend here. So when I get to 3D, then what is the stipend? It does.
I can put
compensated.
Okay, thank you.
Remuneration.
Compensation.
Right. It's the same thing.
I see. I was looking at the wrong paragraph.
I would say yes, please. Like I said,
it's the same thing. So we're going to place all... Go ahead.
Thank you.
Just put stipend on.
Are we going to go through every board policy and replace anywhere that there's a stipend with
or anything that was a synonym that we change to another more appropriate synonym?
No, I think it's clear that it's stipend because there is a possibility...
What did you say was compensation in the form of a stipend or vice versa?
There's a possibility... For example, Mr. Spence used to get PERS benefits. That's a form of compensation. I think it's better to leave it as stipend because it's if it exceeds our stipend, not exceeds any compensation we get.
Sorry, I don't mean to do this. It was quasi-emergency. It's compensation. We get numeration. It's called compensation. It comes out on your W-2, doesn't it?
Yes.
At the end of the year? That's compensation. Done.
Yes. I'm in the minority. That's fine.
Is that a then move to accept? Is that what
that's
you said?
That's a move to accept.
All right. Is there a second?
I will.
You didn't have me.
No.
It's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Kemi Polis, to accept for first reading the following board bylaws as presented. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. All right. That then skips us to item number 15, the unaudited actual financial statements.
All right. Here we go.
Good evening, everyone. Before we get started, I want to thank our Manoj is here. What's your title, Manoj? Fiscal Executive. Chief Fiscal Executive. Chief Financial Executive. I can't remember his title. I want to thank Manoj and his staff for working these last couple months to prepare the unaudited actuals. Board received, this is the big document that you received. I believe, given this. And tonight I passed out, you received a draft form of the presentation tonight. There were a couple changes made, so it's on this version here, if you want to refer to this one.
I don't have that.
It was on the desk?
Yeah, I only have the years of service. Thank you. I have no Maybe you did, because I only have the...
I don't know where this one came from.
So. It was on our desk when we came in.
Yeah.
I have one.
I have one.
He has one. I didn't get one.
So, the unaudited actuals. For those who don't know what the unaudited actuals are about is, we stood up here a couple months ago and we had to basically make an estimate or a prediction of what was going to happen, how we were going to end the year. It's probably fourth quarter and there's 8 minutes left in the football game and we came up with a prediction. Well, now we know what the score of that game was. So that's what we're going to be presenting tonight is what was the change from our prediction to what actually happened. And we'll talk about those changes in the revenue and the expenditures. We put this one up. This is what we're going to be covering, the general fund revenue, what your responsibilities are, general fund expenditures, the changes, the ending balance. We'll talk about our other funds because there's more than just the general fund. There are several other funds. Your responsibility tonight is we're required to close our books for 2013-14 by September 15th, so we're doing that tonight. And then after that, LACO will review and forward these financials to the state. This is the sequence that we have during the year. We operate on a fiscal year from July 1st to June 30th, and we are at 2013-14 unaudited actuals. Throughout the year, we'll make budget revisions. We're right now, for this year, we're at the beginning of a new game. And we think we know what the score is going to be, but as the game progresses, we'll make those adjustments and report back to the board. In May and June, we will adopt the LCAP budget adoption, and then the state adopts their budget in June. So to answer the question that came up earlier, has the state returned all of the money and made us whole? That answer is no. They have not done that. In 2007-08, school districts across California were receiving this amount of money. In the next couple years, it was decreased by over 20%. LCFF came out with a new plan, and we were cut 20% for 2008-09, 9-10, 10-11, 11-12. It was backfilled with some money from the federal government, the ARRA funds, but from the state, we received approximately, West Covina, $10 million less each year. So I think at one point I looked at it over the period of time, there was about $40 to $50 million that did not come into West Covina. It's as if you want to say that was our allowance, we missed those allowances. The state is not coming back and saying, well, we didn't pay you $50 million in allowances, so we're going to give you that now. That's not going to happen. But what the state is doing is saying, okay, this used to be your allowance. It was cut. We want to get you back to the same level you were getting and adjust it for cost of living increases. And so there is a plan to get us back to the same level of revenue by 2021 adjusted for COLA. This year, with this revenue that I put up here, the LCFF sources, we received, or for last year, we received $61 million. That's about 72% of what we should be getting. Now, the good news is we're moving in that direction. We're getting there. So I don't know the context of the governor's remarks. It is a good thing. We are moving in the right direction. A lot of it's based on the economy. But no, we have not been made whole. When we looked at the revenue a couple months ago, we estimated we were going to end the year at about $79.77 million. We came in a little higher. LCFF sources, they increased the gap funding a little bit. On the federal, when you see $0.46 million, that's $460,000. Federal funds, that was decreased a little bit. Some of the Title I and some of the sequestration, there's still a little sequestration left. We estimated, we thought it was going to be 4%. It's a little bit higher. Other state revenue and other local revenue came in higher. So overall, now this is combined, unrestricted and restricted, our revenue ended up $400,000 more than we estimated. These are the changes. When I broke it down, unrestricted and restricted, on unrestricted revenue was actually $86,000 less, but our restricted revenue was $485,000 more. Remember, restricted revenue is just what it says. It's restricted. There's certain limitations of what we can and can't spend the money on. The local revenue is special education money coming in from the SELPA. You know, we really didn't know where we were going to end up. That's a good thing. So more revenues coming in, less costs going to LACO. It's doing what it was supposed to do. On the federal revenue, the MA deferral, 324. Right now, that money in every district is being held while they evaluate that system. We're owed about $324,000. We do feel we will get that, so that'll be budgeted for this year, plus the new money, but that money didn't come in the 2013-14 school year. When we look at our expenditures, we estimated our expenditures were going to be $80.84 million, and they actually came in a little less, $79.97 million. Again, this is unrestricted and restricted. Notice that a large percentage of the $80 or the $79 million is in salary and benefits. The materials and supplies and services and operating expenditures, that's what it costs to the supplies for the students and running our schools. And in the areas, we'll go, let's look at this one. Total unrestricted expenditures were actually down $655,000. Some of the salaries came in less. Employee benefits came in a little bit more. That was due to the positions, the special ed positions that we put in. Services and other operating expenses were down $400,000. We ended up taking some of the money that was budgeted in the $5,000s in services and operating expenditures and moving it up to salaries to cover those new positions. Total restricted expenditures were up a little bit, certificated classified salaries. Materials and supplies in that restricted funds, less $870,000. That's money that has to be spent on Common Core. It has restrictions. It just means we didn't spend it. There's about $500,000 in there that we didn't spend last year, but we are going to spend it this year. We have a plan for that. You have 2 years to spend it, and the combined total is close to $2 million, about $1.8 million. So we do have a plan to spend that money. Overall, then, the expenditures were down over $800,000. So when you look at where we thought we were going to be, our beginning balance was $16.88 million last year. We estimated we were going to end up at $15.81 million, deficit spending about $1 million. When the unaudited actuals came in, beginning balance was $16.88 million. Revenue was slightly higher than expenditures, and our ending balance went up 17.08%. This includes the 3% retro active raise that we gave to January 1st. So looking at this, I was pleased. It's a balanced budget, and we were able to give compensation last year. So the ending balance is going up. Keep in mind that some of that 17.8 is restricted. It's not all available because it does have restrictions with Common Core and some of the lottery restrictions. When we look at the total, the $17 million, remember that it's not just available money sitting in a pot, that the board has assigned that ending balance to different areas: retiree benefits reserve, smarter balance, Common Core, state reserves, deferred maintenance, lottery, prior year, and current year. Now, keep in mind, this is last year, and I know when we adopted the budget for this year, we had some different titles, and so we'll present those when we do first interim. This is for last year. So the reserve for economic uncertainties actually came down a little bit because it's based on your expenditures. They take your expenditures, multiply it by 3%. If our expenditures are down, then the amount of money we have to reserve is also down. Those are the components of the ending fund balance. As I said earlier, we do have some other funds besides the general fund. We have the cafeteria fund, which It doesn't show it here, but they actually did spend down money last year. Their ending balance is $3.8 million. There's a special reserve fund that, as long as I've been here, has $10,893 in it. It changed over our estimate, $9. The bond fund, we estimated that we were going to end at $5.3 million. We started the year with six. Some of the projects that just they didn't get done, or they didn't get completed before the end of that fiscal year, so they're still in progress. Capital facilities, $4.2 million. If you talked to us a year ago at that time, that balance is actually up about $900,000 from the development that's going in the WIX. We call it the WIX development, paid from for developer fees. Those funds can only be used for adding portables or infrastructure that is needed for the extra growth that's coming in because of the housing or the building. So it's not, it is restricted money, and it has restrictions on what it can be used for. County facilities money, Fund 35, that was our old, the state matching money. Again, there's not much money in there. Capital projects, this is the money that we have set aside when we have to purchase big servers, buses, trucks, large purchases. Bond interest fund 51 held at the county, and then our self insurance fund $515,000. One of the things that I also provided for the board was a breakdown, this spreadsheet, and we give this to you, which shows kind of line by line a little bit more detail. And the comments about we estimated we would end here, what did we actually end with? And we'll do that same thing at first interim, let you know where the changes are. It's a puzzle, and it's moving pieces. And if I was presenting a budget right now, as soon as I went the next day, something changes on it. It's different. So it's a living budget. So with that, these are your unaudited actuals for 2013-14. Are there any questions?
I actually have just a couple of questions real quick on the lottery reserves. The combined $4.5 million going into next year, we've not had any discussions with respect to specifics on that, that utilization of that money?
No.
Something maybe we may want to do as we're going into the next budget session? Yes, no, maybe, or?
That's where we ended up there, and that is something, the money's been assigned. That is a discussion that at any time the board can talk about how they want to use those funds, or if they...
But we've not made any commitments for that.
We have not committed those funds. Great. They're not committed. Great. Just assigned.
Good thing. And the we're down a little bit in our enrollment, as I understand.
We are
so far this year.
Correct.
So that in our budget going forward to next year, is that...
One of the things, it will be, we'll look at the... When we come at first interim, we're going to give you an update on this year and then our projections for the 2 years out. That'll have an impact on the out years. As far as this year, even though our enrollment is down, the state does fund for declining enrollment. So you do... If 200 students don't come to school, they don't cut you $1 million. Uh-huh. It doesn't work that way. They'll fund you on, if your enrollment was higher last year, you are funded, but you then have to make some adjustments for the following year. So it's on our radar, and it's something we need to look at.
So we're planning on doing, at our next board meeting, a report on our enrollment, kind of the trends
okay.
that are finding.
All right. So you're telling us that the December of this next December meeting is going to be
the December meeting
as much or more exciting than it was tonight? Presentation?
I don't know how much more exciting it can get.
Yes. Anything else?
When did you say you were going to do the declining the board meeting about declining enrollment?
Well, we were planning on talking about what the trends we are seeing at our next board meeting.
At the next board meeting. And then we'll be talking about how that's going to possibly affect our budget.
We're already looking at that as we... October 31st is the first interim. That's when that's our snapshot on that day, and it takes us all of November to put that stellar presentation together for December for the out years. But it's already on our radar, and we're looking at it as we go forward, and we're planning as far as adding teachers. I mean, it's on our radar.
The purpose for the report next is that we have declining enrollment, but we want to show you the trends we're seeing, where we're seeing the declining enrollment, and have a conversation.
I think it's important. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve the 2013-14 unaudited actuals financial report as presented. It's moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Is there any other items for board discussion?
I forgot to say something back in July, and it occurred to me when we were doing the site visits, if it would be at all possible to get a copy again like we do every year of the college-going report for West Covina High and now Edgewood. So I'm really excited. I want to see where did the kids end up going and how that all panned out. And for Coronado, if they have one as well. Thank you, Steve. Then the other thing I wanted to say, just as a point of discussion, my family and I went to go see the movie When the Game Stands Tall, and I highly recommend it for everyone to see. It's about a college football game at LaSalle High School. And what struck me in watching the movie and enjoying it with my family was it made me think of our own football program. And I've heard from parents who have come through our football program, who are currently in our football program, starting as ninth graders, seniors. I've heard over the last 6 years, and I just was so appreciative of Coach Maggiore and the football program that he runs. And so obviously there's no movie about Coach Maggiore and what we've done here in West Covina, but I just wanted to thank, next time I see him on Thursday, I will thank him, but I highly recommend it to everybody to go see When the Game Stands Tall and take your family with you. It's a family-friendly movie for every age group. But I just wanted to put that on the record to say how appreciative I am of the football program we have here in our own district. So that was it. Thank
you. There are a bunch of special meetings. Come up, take a list, get your board session. There are board lists, whatever. With that, we are adjourned at 8:20.